the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
Across the Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys.
Good
happy Thursday.
Morning.
Good
happy
morning.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
And while the rest of the nation celebrates National Penguin Day, we celebrate the Feast of St. Mark.
Amen to Amen. That. I'm
yes.
with you.
Yeah.
Nothing against penguins. Nothing against penguins.
It's World Penguin Day, so it goes
world?
Beyond national.
Hey, you know what? St. Mark is world, too. So there.
All right. There we should have dressed up in tuxedos with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
St. Mark, by the way, is the patron saint of notaries, baristas. You're making coffee, I guess. So when you go to the coffee shop today, thank
that's why you just ran and got
and, a cup. And he's also the patron saint of Venice, Italy, not Louisiana. But could be both. All right. Let's get this show on the road and start with a prayer in honor of St. Mark. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Almighty God, who has instructed the Holy Church with the heavenly doctrine of the evangelist St. Mark, give us grace that, being not like children carried away with every blast of vain doctrine, we may be established in the truth of the Holy Gospel through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about St. Mark later on during our Saint of the Day, but we are starting off with some events in our listening area at 10 after. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website at ccmedia.live. And hey, you guys have been submitting your events too, which is why we have an event segment to talk about them. So keep sending them to us. We love talking about what you are up to in your community and church parish. In 18 minutes, Deacon Paul Swallow joins us. He is over at St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge and director of the Diaconate Committee. Today, he's going to talk about his diaconate story and the role that he plays. So we're looking forward to getting to know Deacon Swallow today. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's a COO of Witness to Love. And today, we are diving into marriage and family life, particularly screens within the family, texting. Do those take us away from our marriage, our relationship? So we're going to talk about that. The answer is yes.
Yeah,
just kind of spoiler alert. We'll talk about how we can kind of help with that as well. And in 48 minutes, Father Matthew Dunn joins us. He's a pastor over at Christ the King at LSU in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and we are going to be getting a Eucharistic revival update from him. So looking forward to today's guests, and Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What do you
have
for us?
Okay, well, patchy fog in some areas, but it's burning off rather quickly. We'll see plenty of sunny skies, cloud here and there. High is going to be 87, winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Really no chance of rain in the forecast. Tomorrow, pretty much the same. It will be a little breezier, though. Winds are going to pick up to about 15 to 20 miles an hour tomorrow. Very slight chance of showers. Sneak peek for Jazz Fest weekend, which I believe is this weekend, right?
I think so.
Kicks it off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunny, sunny skies. High is going to be in the upper 80s. Nice breeze blowing for both Saturday and Sunday. Just a small chance of a shower. But it won't last long if it does come down. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Mandeville at 61 degrees, 64 in Biloxi, as well as home at Thibodeau. Over in New Orleans, 69. And here in the capital city, it's 63 degrees. So get out and enjoy it. We've got some nice weather all the way through Sunday. But come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeehaw, the rains will be upon us.
Oh, really? Okay.
So expect that. In the meantime, don't go too far. We have your gospel and reflection and some events. Stick around.
Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and a blessed feast of St. Mark, who is an evangelist. Our gospel today comes from Mark chapter 16. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
When the 11 apostles were gathered together, Jesus reprimands them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. This rebuke applies to all his followers, because believing the testimony of the resurrection is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. The apostles were called to proclaim, "He is risen and alive. We have seen him." The amazing reality is Jesus did not invalidate the apostles' commission because of their many limitations. In surrendering to the action of the Holy Spirit, they will become transformed into the stuff from which martyrs and great saints are made. The same is true for the mission Jesus has for each one of us. Jesus commands his followers, "Proclaim the gospel to every creature." The good news is no longer limited to God's chosen people, as it had been during Jesus' earthly life. It is now destined for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. Jesus declared, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Faith alone is not enough. One's faith must be expressed and ratified with baptism, an action by God by which the believer is united with Christ in his death and resurrection and incorporated into the church. Baptism is the gateway into eternal life for the removal of our sins. On Pentecost, Peter declared, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Ananias said to Paul, "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And as a result, St. Paul would write, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Father Chris. Almost 11 after the hour on this Thursday morning, April 25th, we have some events we'd like to share with you. One in particular, St. Peter's Knights of Columbus in Covington. They're inviting all men to attend Brotherhood and Brew. It's Tuesday, May 21st. It'll be from 6 to 8 at Abita Brewery. This month's topic coming up in May will be focusing on reclaiming manhood, rediscovering men's role in the church. Cost is $15. It gets you two drink tickets, some jambalaya, and the proceeds that they raise will go to help with the restoration of St. Peter's Church in Covington.
Nice. All right. And St. Catherine of Siena is having a married couples retreat at the weekend of June 22nd and 23rd at St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center in Covington. So to register, go to faithandmarriage.org or ccmedia.live.
Well, the Women of Manresa retreats at the Cenacle on the Lake continually are honestly making waves and booking so quickly, you guys. These are such popular retreats. They are currently taking retreatants for the May 30th through June 2nd retreat. It's going to be led by Father Juan Pablo Ruiz, Jesuit vocation promoter, and there are also availabilities for June 3rd through the 6th with Jesuit Father Stephen Kramer, There are retreats available in July, September of 2025. So if you're interested, go to ccmedia.live. Gosh. These are booking very quickly, so it's a good idea to maybe take a look at these in advance.
You can join singer Lorraine Hess on a pilgrimage to Spain, Portugal, and France from October 7th through the 17th. You'll visit some of the most spiritual sites in the world, like Lourdes, Fatima, Loyola, and the beautiful city of Barcelona. There is a limited number of openings for this particular pilgrimage, so if you want, you can sign up today. For more information about the trip as well as details, go to ccmedia.live.
Wow, that sounds nice, too. Beginning Experience, by the way, has a program on May 17th through the 19th weekend. To help those who are separated, divorced, or widowed. Many people who have suffered a loss like this feel left out by their church and uneasy around married friends and uncertain about their future. And this is for you. Beginning Experience can help you through this. To register for this session and obtain more information, go to ccmedia.live.
Wonderful. Well, Our Lady of Hope Catholic Retreat Center over in Chattanooga, Mississippi is having a Family Day Mass in May crowning on Sunday, May 5th. That is just around the corner. Mass times have changed for this special event and will start at 11:45 a.m. So if you are planning on attending, make sure you take note of that new Mass change. There will be a lunch following the Mass. You need to RSVP by April 28th. To prepare for the upcoming event, you can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
All right. This one is going to be, in particular, right up Dave's alley. Uh-oh. There's going to be a bourbon and wine tasting this Saturday at Our Lady of Victoria Church Parish in Pascagoula.
Okay.
Not that far away.
No.
Yeah, you can make it. It's going to be from 6 to 8. It's going to be held in the Resurrection Catholic School cafeteria. There'll be heavy hors d'oeuvres, not light ones, baby.
No heavy.
They're going to be heavy to go with that wine and that bourbon.
Pick them up.
And they're going to have some delicious bourbons and wines to taste. And so if you'd like more information, go to ccmedia.live and get all the details. But I'm sure folks in Mississippi are looking forward to a good weekend, especially if they can't make it to Jazz Fest.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. There is so much going on while Jazz Fest is going on, right?
You know, a lot of events. In South Louisiana and the Mississippi Gulf Coast, once we get into April, all the way to end of August into September, there's a festival every weekend.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sure. Take advantage of that.
Well, of course.
Yes.
All right, it's 15 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Glad you're joining us and tuning your heart to the truth. Coming up, we have Deacon Paul Swallow with us here in studio to talk about the Diaconate Program and his life story. Here.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 25th. Today we celebrate Saint Mark. As familiar as we are with Saint Mark through his gospel, many details of his life are uncertain. We do know that Mark is the writer of the oldest and the shortest of the four Gospels. Mark's account emphasizes Jesus' rejection by humanity while being God's triumphant envoy. His Gospel was probably written for Gentile converts in Rome sometime between 60 and 70 AD. We cannot be certain that Mark knew Jesus personally, but we do know that he was not one of Jesus' disciples. In the New Testament, a disciple named Mark accompanies Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but for some reason he seems to have returned alone to Jerusalem. It's speculated that Mark somehow displeased Paul, but later Mark visits Paul in prison and comforts his old friend. Peter appears to have been a steadfast friend of Mark's, even referring to him as "my son" in one of his letters, presumably meaning a son in faith. Some think that Peter was an important source of information for Mark's gospel. Another tradition holds that Mark was the first bishop of Alexandria, Egypt, which may be where he was martyred. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's A number one. All right. With us in studio right now, Deacon Paul Swallow, who is a deacon over at St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge. He is also co-director of the Diaconate Committee and soon to be the director of the committee. in July. But in the meantime, we want to always hear stories about why men have become deacons and at the same time find out what's going on with the diaconate program in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you, Damien?
I'm doing great. Paul and I are good friends, and I'm excited to have him in studio this morning. So to get things started, share with everyone why you became a deacon and what was the discerning process for that.
Yeah, it's a long story, actually. My wife and I, Jill, she and I have been talking about it for years and years. We have always served the church in different different faculties, mm-hmm. Whether it's Bible studies or working the parish fairs or right. even doing some youth ministry over the years. And I never was attracted to anyone in particular, any ministry in particular.
Right.
I always kind of bounced around and, you know, just kind of tried to fit my skills to what was needed. But I never was attracted. You know, some people, like they work KC's all the time, yep. or they work the men's club all the time.
Right.
That never was how I worked. I always wanted to do different things. And so as I discerned, you know, what I wanted to do with the church, I knew over time it was going to be more and more. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know exactly what ministry it was going to be. The diaconate was in the back of my mind for years just because, you know, I loved the fact that I could study more about our faith, learn more about, you know, the fathers of the church, and learn more about, you know, just how the church developed over time. And so when the Diocese of Baton Rouge actually changed the diaconate program, that was coming to, you know, it was all coming to the same point. I was getting ready to retire. They changed the diaconate program from mm-hmm. the old RSI model right. to the FRANU model, which I knew would be more enticing for me because it would be taught by, you know, the theologians at FRANU, and they would be more walking with us through it all. The old RSI model was a bit more catch as catch can, the mm-hmm. different
kind of
people
almost
teaching.
A self-study in a way too.
Yeah. And so that wasn't what I was interested in. And so when this became more of a formal process, and the fact that I knew that as I served the church, I wanted to, you know, serve it in a deeper way. Mm-hmm. Even my prayer life was changing during
right.
that time, you know, had been going to retreats for years at Manresa and other places. I actually did Acts for a while when we lived in Texas. And so my prayer life was becoming deeper and deeper at that same time. And so all those things were coming together mm-hmm. at the right time. You know, it's in God's time, right? We never can predict what that's going to be.
And this is really a result of, it just sounds like your faith life just kept getting deeper and deeper, right?
It really did.
Yeah.
It really did. And
okay.
and particularly my prayer life. You know, I had started, you know, reading the Magnificat and praying with mm-hmm. it every morning, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, turns out the Magnificat is very much like the Liturgy of the Hours,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all of that was coming together without really me knowing it or consciously happening. But then, you know, as the FRANU thing started to get more and more promoted, I guess, I discerned the first year they went into the FRANU program. But then I decided we had some other things going on in our family, and it yeah. wasn't the right time. So I backed out of that, but I came back the following year. So everything had kind of resolved itself.
Okay.
So all that just came together at the right time in God's time, and here I am.
Yeah. And how did you get to become a co-director for the diaconate committee? Is that something that's appointed, or were you called to lead other men through the program?
Yeah, I was when I was ordained. I was ordained 3 years ago mm-hmm. in August, and so. About a year after that, Johnny Veron, who's now the director of the Office of the Diaconate, he called me and invited me to become an associate director with him at that time. And, you know, I told him I'd pray about it because I didn't feel like I was ready for that. I had just been ordained. And so I prayed about it for a long time and just tried to figure out, you know, what is God calling me to here? Mm-hmm. You know, I knew I wanted to do more ministry at St. Thomas More. And, you know, really try to get into that and learn more about my ministry. Mm-hmm. But this was kind of another thing that was coming down the pike at the same time. And turns out, I mean, it's an administrative role in the office of the diaconate.
Okay.
And so that fit my professional skills, if you will. I mean, I was a plant manager for 15 years. So it just fit, mm-hmm. you know, what I needed to do. And it made sense from how, you know, God prepared me for where I was going to go. And so about a year after Johnny invited me, I called him back and, you know, told him, you know, I was rethinking that because I had first told him I'm not ready. And then I called him back, or he called me back and asked me the next year. And then I ended up saying yes, you know, just from the standpoint of the administrative piece.
And now the program is really prospering as far as men go. Tell us the quick story. If I'm not mistaken, there's close to 20 men, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, that just went through the discerning process this year.
Yeah, well, Terry Bellon, as you know, is the director of formation.
Mm-hmm.
And so Terry is kind of leading, you know, that piece of it. But I'm working with him because Terry is still working full time. And he just was ordained in August. And so he, you know, we're kind of working together to bring these men in. But, yeah, we started our inquiry sessions in February. And we had 23 at the first one. Mm-hmm. We kind of peaked out at 26 total. But today, our last two sessions, so we ended up having five sessions for the discernment, for the inquiry.
Good.
And the second to last one, we had about 18. And then this last one, we had 21. And so now we're in the application process.
Okay, so now they apply. That's when you do the background checks and all the
other
stuff?
Yeah, once we get the application in, and they're all due by the end of the month, so by mm-hmm. next week, we'll have the full list of men who have, you know, actually gone into the application process and are ready to move forward. And then we'll start into the background checks, the psychological tests, and all that sort of
thing. How long does that take?
It takes a couple of months.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time, and we've never done a class this big, so
I was gonna say,
that may be a little longer than that.
Yeah,
now.
This is like four or five times the normal number. It's usually four or five gentlemen who
right.
go through.
Yeah, the largest class we had was my class and the class before me, which was six. So this is, you know, multiples
That's a big
of that.
Difference.
So what do you think is changing? Why are more men wanting to enter the program, you think, and help out the church, I guess.
Yeah, we haven't interviewed each one individually yet, so we don't know exactly what moved each one to that. But, you know, as we talk to people, just mm-hmm. kind of anecdotally,
just
you know,
the
story.
Trend.
Yeah, the stories we're mm-hmm. getting are around things like Men of Immaculata, the Axe Retreats,
right.
and just mm-hmm. the overall, I think, push from the vocations office of getting the, you know, the word out there mm-hmm. about, you know, called by name, you know, people are feeling.
So men
that.
Coming into their faith is what's happening.
Well,
the fruits of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the Catholic Man Night that
right.
you guys lead, you mm-hmm. know, had, you know, it gets men together to talk about their faith mm-hmm. without their wives.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Because when the wives are around, men tend to let
we
the wives.
Yep.
Yeah. The wives speak about their own faith. And then their men think that they're speaking for them. But, you know, mm-hmm. when it comes down to it and we're before those pearly gates, it's just us and the Lord,
That's
not our wives.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So how is it working with Father Michael Olello over at St. Thomas More?
Oh, St. Thomas More is really, it's a great parish. It really is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the people there are so friendly.
Because that's not your church parish.
Right.
A lot of times deacons wind up at their own church parish. Not always.
Right.
But in your case, you're at a different church parish.
Yeah. If I had to do a tally, I think we're about 50-50 right now of deacons getting assigned to their home parish versus going to a different, where the need is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And so Father Michael had requested a deacon that year, and I had been going to him for spiritual direction, and I did my internship mm-hmm. there. So everything was kind of fitting together for me to be at St. Thomas More. So
nice.
It's really a good parish. We, you know, consolidated with St. Louis King of France,
right.
you know, about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so you really see that mixture, you know, the diversity of the two parishes coming together with the different faith lives that they each, you know, that each of the, you know, the charisms of those churches kind of came together. And really, it's making a good parish right now.
Yeah, it really is. And you're in a big parish.
Yeah, it's a big parish.
It is large.
2,000 plus families.
How long have you been ordained?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
well,
not long.
We'll be 3 years in August, actually. Okay. Not quite 3 years.
Goodness.
So, well. I know I look like I may have been ordained for a while.
About to say, yeah, you're one of the younger ones. So, you know.
Well, at least at this table, I'll say
that.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, you be careful.
Some man
who grew up in River Ridge over here. Man. He's ready for anything.
That's great.
Him and the Shalmation, when we get together, you ought to see what takes place.
Okay.
All right, Dick and Paul Swallow, thank you for being with us, and we appreciate all your work.
Yes.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Thank you, man. We'll keep you in our prayers. Do the same for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thirty-five past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado. And right now on the phone, we have another David Dawson, David Dawson Jr. So David Dawson Jr. will be in your left speaker. I will be in your right speaker, just so we won't confuse you. David's the COO of Witness to Love. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I don't know how you figured that out.
Yeah, well, it's the technology. Modern technology, the magic of stereo. Anyway, we're gonna be talking today once again, because this is a huge topic. We're talking about screen time for the family and the importance of it, and the importance of having lack of it. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's come up both in some research, but also in my own experience. The more time, I think, as we spend time on the screen, especially with work, the assumption a lot of times is that, look, I'm getting stuff done at work, and then when I get home, I'll be able to kind of put it down. Mm-hmm. And then we're surprised by the fact that we can't put it down.
Right.
And I think it's one of those things we assume we're constantly disappointing ourselves, and we're constantly disappointing our families, you know, by the fact that we just can't seem to put it down. Mm-hmm. When the truth is, this is a neurological reality that, the screen, is, especially these days, because there's endless possibilities, there's always creating more ways to be productive and to get stuff done, to find exciting stuff. You know, like the possibilities feel endless. And when you've got something that's got a powerful effect, just from a visual perspective, but also from like a desire perspective, that the sense is, I can do anything with this, or I can find anything with this.
Yeah.
It has a very powerful effect on our brains, whether we know it or not. And so the fact that we can't put it down is because I've been on this all day. My brain has been trained to know that this is where stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like real stuff, this is where it happens, is on this screen. And if I'm looking for something, this is where you find it.
Well,
so it's not complicated.
No,
it's just the reality.
You know, and you even mentioned it before. We got the whole world right here in our hands. Everything
exactly.
that's going on is right here in this phone.
That's right.
And To get away from that, because you're saying you're afraid you might miss something, right? Or
you're just
looking for entertainment. So
it's all of the above, really. It's what happens is the assumption is this is where life happens.
Yeah.
Right. This is where really things move.
Okay.
And so we know intellectually in the front part of our brains are like, well, of course that's not true. You know, my life is my spouse, my kids. You know, what happens here in the house. But the problem is we've trained our brains, and there's neurological connections that are saying, no, it happens on the screen. And so it sounds dire and it sounds frightening, but I've come to realize, like, no, this is just the reality, right? When we're working on screens, we have to work on screens for most of our jobs.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then like, this is what's happening to us. I mean, I've got to be on screens all day. Most of my people that I'm working with are on Zoom calls and things like that. So it's not something I can get away from. So what I've realized is that in working with, you know, we did Exodus 90 with some guys, men's leadership groups, and everybody wants to put their phone down. Married couples groups, everybody's like, I just got to do better. I just got to do better.
Yeah.
Like, look, the truth is our brains are wired this way. They've been wired by the screen.
Yeah.
So any kind of situation like that where my understanding has been messed up, I got to create a structure, mm-hmm. right? So I got to use that front part of my brain to say, okay, I've got to create a structure in which this thing goes here and it doesn't come back up again. And it's not in front of my face.
Yeah.
To where it's away, it's put away. And it's not just because I'm weak. It's because I've been trained. My brain knows this is where it happens.
Doesn't the same thing happen?
I'm less likely to do it, yeah.
Doesn't the same thing happen with an addiction, though? I mean, your brain starts getting wired in the wrong direction, right?
And I didn't want to use the A word, but that's exactly what it is.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
So
it feels scary, right?
Yeah.
So Dave,
absolutely.
What if the phone or whatever you want to call it, you are only able to connect with people, whether it's family, kids, cousins, friends,
right,
and none of the other stuff? How much use would it get?
It's partially that helps if we're not using it for the internet, but like we're going to be using the internet for work.
No. But I'm saying my point is if only you could use it for what I just mentioned.
Yeah.
How much use do you think it would get?
That's a good question.
It would certainly be a lot less.
Like 10 minutes?
It would certainly be a lot less.
An hour? A day?
It depends. It depends on what you're using it for. I think the point is, if we're whatever whatever we're having to expose ourselves to the screen to whatever extent, it's going to have an effect whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yes, it should be. It should definitely be limited. It should definitely be restricted, right, as much as possible.
Yeah.
But the point is if it's not, to whatever extent we're using it, that's the extent it's going to have an effect on us. So it's not like being, going Amish. If that's an option, like that would be a blast, right? But if it's not an option, we have to recognize that in the same way that, living in the United States, we have a lot of preservatives in our food.
Yeah,
that affects the way our bodies operate.
Mm-hmm.
How much can I actually do something about that? Or like, can I mitigate, there's certain things that we can avoid. We live in a fallen world,
mm-hmm.
All right? But God is going to give us the grace to take that in stride and do something with it. So my point is, when I'm at home, when I'm with the kids, my phone has to be away from my hands and my face.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I'm going to be checking it because my brain says, you need to look at this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I've got to put things in place to make it to where I am prioritizing. I have to be much more intentional than I ever thought I would have to be.
What's interesting is you have the pros and the cons. Now, one of the pros of the phone is I have gotten wonderful home projects done now that I know how to do them because they got these videos on how to fix things and everything.
I think that's
wonderful. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. But then there's the discipline of, okay, now that I'm through watching this, what's going on this on this news app? Right. You know what I mean? And you keep gravitating. I know I do. And it's absolutely a discipline. So what do you recommend? How do we start curbing ourselves?
It's got to be, number one, it's got to be that like it's when I'm not doing work, it has to be away. Not because I'm trying to be a superhero, not because I'm weak, but because this is the way our brains work. Number two, we have to make these decisions with our spouses so that they know, right? Otherwise, I will always give myself cheat space, right? And I'll always give myself excuses as to why I probably still need to be on it. But with my wife, if she knows we both made this decision, it becomes something that she holds me accountable to. And if she sees me doing it, then I feel like I've let her down, not just myself.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So I can let myself down all day.
Sure, but it's sort of like anything else that we're trying to discipline ourselves with. You want somebody else involved so you can be accountable. Is that it?
Yeah, and we're always going to be willing to do hard things for other people. That's how we're wired.
Right.
I will do hard things for the sake of somebody else. I won't necessarily do them for myself.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That you can actually stick to something that better that way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
If the average person spends 4.5 hours a day on their phone, not counting the talking time, where are they doing this? How much time are they wasting at work? And if how do employers deal with this?
Yeah, that's a cat and mouse game. That's one of those things that you can put things in place, but this is something that employers, schools, unfortunately, it's a downward spiral right now as far as how much time is being wasted and productivity is kind of going down the drain. So a lot of these employers are having to put some major restrictions in place, which are very hard to manage because any restriction affects your ability to do your work, right?
Yeah.
So, it's a cat and mouse game. It's one of those things. I think historically, It's we're going to see that, like, there's a lot of this wave of the internet's just going wide open, and that's the nature of it. Yep. How do you restrict that? It's like trying to put rocks in a flow of the river. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how that gets managed over time. It's not something I'm going to be a part of.
I'm
not going to be a part of fixing that.
Right.
So I
right.
have to take care of. Yeah. I have to do my best to put some structures in place here in my own
house. That's a good point. You just start at home. Hey, look, Dave. Once again, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Dave Dawson, COO of Witness to Love. Son, we'll be in touch, but I don't know how because I'm putting my phone away. So anyway,
we'll use a can and some string.
That's right. Smoke signals. But either way, we'll be. But thanks for joining us. Looking forward to talking to you next week.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Be something if they created the device to where you could only use it for 2 hours a day.
They have a way of limiting it.
They do?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
That's right. But
the phone itself.
Yes, but the phone, it does. It counts your time on the phone.
So, okay. And it'll shut down after?
And we will get with our next guest, Father Matthew Dunn, via phone when we come back.
Okay.
It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up. Eight past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, sitting right next to Damian Collada. And right now we've got Father Matthew Dunn. He's the pastor at Christ the King at LSU in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And we're going to talk about the Eucharistic revival. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, y'all. How you doing today?
We're doing great. I understand you have a lot of new news about the pilgrimage and all things going on with the revival.
I do. Good news, too.
So, all right.
So I think we talked about last time the National Eucharistic Congress that's coming up in Indianapolis in the middle of July of this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So leading up to that, it's actually pretty cool, this idea that they have, that there's a National Eucharistic pilgrimage, which is really like a massive Eucharistic procession across the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just one, it's four different routes that they have going across the whole country, and it's all starting in really just about a month. And there are all these pilgrims coming from all the different parts of the country, going through as many dioceses as possible with the Blessed Sacrament. And it's all going to end in Indianapolis for the Congress.
Okay.
So the exciting news is that we are part of the St. Juan Diego route here in the South. It starts in Texas and it goes through the different parts of Louisiana, and it's coming right in the middle of Baton Rouge in early June.
Great.
And it's actually pretty providential, because they're going to be getting here the evening of Thursday, June 6th, which is the evening they get here. They spend the night, and then the next morning we start with Mass, and then a Eucharistic procession through the city, and then I'll give some details on that.
Okay.
But it's actually pretty neat, because that Friday that they're going to be here on June 7th is a Solemnity of the Sacred Heart.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a big feast day. Mm-hmm. Big, beautiful feast day, which is my favorite feast day as well.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from Easter and Christmas, of course.
Yeah.
but I wanted to give that update, because we're making all kind of plans to invite everybody in the diocese to that that procession, to the Mass with which will start at Sacred Heart for Sacred Heart's feast day.
Yeah.
And then hearing Bishop Duca give us a little bit of wisdom at the cathedral, a service project ending at Christ the King at LSU.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's happening.
Yeah, the beauty also, it was just announced earlier this week that the Holy Father is going to give plenary indulgences for all those who participate. That's a beautiful thing.
Right. It's a beautiful thing.
Let me ask you, Father Matthew, I'm wrapping our heads around this. What can we expect to see, the general public in Baton Rouge? I mean, it's coming in, it's going to be a walking procession. It's coming into town from what direction, and what can we expect to see?
Right. So it's a little bit, it's a mix of everything.
Okay.
Right? So they're going to be coming to us from the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux to the south of us.
Okay.
There are designated priests and pilgrims for each route. So they'll actually be driving in on that Thursday night.
Oh, okay, driving in. All right.
Just for, I guess, really real time constraint and safety measures as well. Uh-huh. But when we start the next day at 8 o'clock Mass at Sacred Heart on that Friday, from Sacred Heart will be kind of like a grab-and-go breakfast, and then we actually walk on foot. So that's the actual procession.
Oh, wow.
From Sacred Heart Church in Baton Rouge to the cathedral. So we'll actually pass, the route we're taking is from Sacred Heart through Spanish Town, basically in front of the state capitol to bring our Lord in the Eucharist.
Nice.
To the state capitol.
Okay.
And then down to the cathedral, and then we'll have some time for adoration there. So the procession itself, really, it's on foot, obviously.
Yeah.
And people can join us for 3 steps if they want. They can join us for the entire route.
Yeah.
And then from there, of course, we drive to Christ the King later on in the evening for a different event that we'll have to close out the celebration of the Sacred Heart here in the diocese and to send off the pilgrims as they go to New Orleans that evening. So it's going to be on foot for a portion of it, which we invite the whole city to. Well, I mean, we'll have police escorts and that type of thing.
Sure.
But it's just exciting to have that, you know, the same Jesus that's being processed around the entire country.
Yeah.
It's coming through our city.
Coming through our city. Yeah. Okay, so when it gets to the cathedral from Sacred Heart, this is all in Baton Rouge. When that happens, will there be adoration going on throughout the day until it goes to Christ the King? What will happen during the day when it gets to the cathedral?
Sure. So we'll get to the cathedral. We'll go in, and there will be some time for some silent adoration after Bishop Duca shares some wisdom or gives a homily or really anything the Holy Spirit is leading our good shepherd to do.
Okay.
And after that, we'll repose the Blessed Sacrament, and they'll have the noon Mass at the cathedral, or 12:05, rather. And then we'll actually step into the parish hall at the cathedral for a certain type of service project, which we're getting all the details together on that.
Okay.
But then everybody will be invited to share a meal for lunch, because it'll be a hot day of June in the middle of the day,
so
people are going to need some good food.
Yeah.
But then we'll also get to hear some testimonies from these particular pilgrims as to why did I apply for this? Why am I dedicating, 2 months of my life to walking with our Lord across the country to end at the Congress? Just to kind of hear these stories of Eucharistic amazement and what our Lord has done for people that we've never met before, that are not from our diocese.
That's beautiful.
So, it really is a communal thing, but also a universal thing.
And then it's going to be processing to, once again, Christ the King. And then after that, New Orleans is heading in your direction. It's going to be going from here to New Orleans next. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They leave here that evening and go over to New Orleans for the next day. So they're really only here for one full day.
Okay.
But what an occasion, what a day to be here.
Yeah, boy.
Sacred Heart.
That is going to be better than Mardi Gras. I am really looking forward to this. And I hope we fill the streets just as much. That is going to be a beautiful thing. Father Matthew Dunn, once again, thank you for joining us and filling us in on this. We're going to be getting updates from you regularly, but we really appreciate you joining us. Oh, before you go, could you give us a blessing?
Most certainly. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
This day and always, may you know the love of our risen and living Lord, who we continue to celebrate during the season of Easter. And may Almighty God bless you now and always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace, and happy feast day to y'all.
Thank you, Father. Yes. We appreciate that. So, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that, Damien. I mean, this
I plan to go. You're going to be there, huh?
Oh, we're going to try to cover it. That's what we're working on right now. So we can cover at least some of it, to where we're going to have it in Baton Rouge, and we're going to try to cover it in New Orleans. So that's what our plan is. So
good.
It's going to be quite the event, and it's just amazing how all of this is happening all over the country, and then it culminates. It terminates right there in Indianapolis,
in July.
So
yep. Coming from really all 4 sides of the United States,
absolutely,
all merging in Indianapolis
absolutely.
In July. Yep. Okay. Well, that's it for today's show. We appreciate you tuning in on this feast day of St. Mark. And I hope you tune in tomorrow where Gary Zemek will be with us. He's author as well as Catholic evangelist. We also have Danny Fitzpatrick on the agenda. He's with the St. Louis Nine Art Society. And he's got a book out, Restoring the Lord's Day.
Nice.
We'll be chatting about that.
Okay.
And, of course, Noel Delery, who is a spiritual director, here to talk about spiritual direction.
And intercessory prayer. And that is something that I think is not used enough, right? Intercessory prayer. Now, we do this every day here at the studio, but just praying for others, those prayers are heard.
Yeah. You know, those ask the saints to help us too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So thank you, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton as well on the production team, making this all possible. In the meantime, you all go out, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you in the morning here on Wake Up.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.